something slightly different this morning. I want to do two things over the next 20 or so minutes. One is to update everyone on where we are with the building project. And if you're visiting this morning and you haven't a clue what this is about, I'm sorry. But hopefully you'll hear something that God is saying to you anyway. Incidentally, as I give this update, and I've not had a chance to talk through with John or any of the rest of the building group exactly what I'm going to say. So if you hear anything, if you're on the building group and you hear me saying something that you think, that's not what we said at all, please do just wave and throw things at me, and we'll try and get this correct. But one is, as I say, two things. One is to update everyone on where we are with the building project. The other is to reflect together on the path that we've taken so far, as well as the path that is ahead of us. And those two objectives kind of blend in together a bit. So let me take you on a bit of a journey back through time. We'll start back in the 1980s, when the church last had its own building over on Greenside. How many of you remember this? A few of you, okay. Oh, actually, more than I thought. So let me just go back. If you were eagle-eyed when you came in this morning, you might have spotted that photo back up here. Now, we're going to start with that church, and we've got a bit of a visual representation here, because we've made quite a journey since then. We were in Greenside for a long time, but back in the 80s, it was, well, actually, I've heard various things about that, but my understanding was that it was condemned by the council. I think it was also pretty small for us as well, but it was condemned. We had to leave, and we were, as a church, we were nomads for some time. We were in the Borough Hall, we were in Priorsford School, we were in Victoria Park Centre, maybe other places as well. So bit of a zig from that original. Can you just hold on to that? Thank you very much. And then a little bit later, we bought a bit of land, and we had plans to build on that land. This was still back in the 80s. And the land is still where we have our land, but that building never happened. So we've got the land. Kim, if I can just give you that to hold, the next zag, whatever it is. What happened next? We'd settled into the Victoria Park Centre, and that became a home. And I can start talking a bit more authoritatively now, because I was here by the end of that. Victoria Park Centre became a home. It became, you know, somewhere that was identified with us. And in fact, it was getting quite exciting. We were growing as a church. We'd started talking to Scottish Borders Council about maybe taking on the management of that place, and that was all looking exciting. So there's another zig. Thank you. And then an SB Cares in Easter 2015, SB Cares comes along and says, actually, we've got big plans for this place. We're taking over the responsibility for this. You're out of here. And we thought, what? What was that about? Where was God taking us? And so that was quite challenging. And so we were nomadic again. I'll give you that. Thank you. Another zig or zag. A real sense of homelessness that we had for a bit. And again, we were all over the town trying to find somewhere to worship and to base ourselves. But during that time, we got an increased sense of God saying again, guys, it's time to build. You've got that bit of land. Now is the time to build. And we settled here in the short term in the drill hall. And although, you know, we sometimes express frustration with this place, let's not forget that even if it's in the wrong place, it's on the north of the town rather than the south. It's a great facility. It's dirt cheap. It's got storage. It's got, you know, access for most of the time we did it, which is great. But we've been developing this plan for a church and community building on our land. The thing is about that it's going to take lots of money. That was the original idea, was going to take lots of money, best part of £1 million, and a long time. Optimistically, 3 or more years to build that. So there was another big change. Is that another change in direction? And then, about a year on from that, a number of us went to Baptist Assembly in, where was that one? Motherwell, I think. In Glenrothes, was it? And came away from that with a growing sense of God saying, yeah, but you need to go now. You need to be on the south side of town now. You need to start building relationships now. And so we were thinking, well, how do we reconcile these two? So we started the idea of a phase one building, a porter cabin or something like that, very small, not even big enough for Sunday worship, but allowing us to do all sorts of things maybe during the week quickly and cheaply. And that had a lot of support from the church. So there was another zig. You can grab hold of that. Thank you. So that got support from the church. But people did say, yeah, but it would be great to be able to worship there too. And so we talked to Ranald, our architect, who found us. Really another sense of God bringing someone into our environment. And he came up with the idea of the barn, using a barn, an agricultural building to do things, at an estimated cost of about 250,000, which would be big enough for us to worship there as well. And then last week, and I've kind of run out of rope to create more zigzags, just keep hold of that for the moment. A week or two ago, we went down to the ground and roped it out. Roped out the shape of the building that he was proposing. There we are, yes. There were some very funny photos from this, actually, including one of Linda, I think, stealing somebody's dog. What I really want to know is, what is John doing here? Like a ninja. Anyway, we had this really helpful exercise of roping out the ground, seeing what it would really look like. Told us a lot. Now, that's quite a long and complicated and really, as you can see, quite twisty journey. And even the most recent bits have had some big zigs and zags because we've gone in our thinking from something like this at one extreme, to this at the other extreme. And maybe now we are somewhere in between. And the question is, what is the something in between? Now, I'm going to come back to that zigzag journey in a minute. And the actual journey bit, the process bit. But I know you're dying to hear where we are now. So let me come to that. Part of the issue that we've been wrestling with is tension. Tension. It's a tension between different aspects of this project. On the one hand, we want to build something quickly so that we can be obedient to God's call to get over to the south side now. But at the same time, we don't want to trim so many corners that we start off, even for a phase one building, with something that is just frustrating and not fit for purpose. And so we're also trying to work out the implications of wise stewardship of the money that God has provided or is going to provide for this. Because the more we plan to build right at the beginning, the more cost effective it will be. But that still means more money and more time up front. So another tension. And that's why the ideas and proposals and plans that we've brought to the church over the last 12 months or so have kept changing. And I know that's slightly confusing. So the last time the building project team brought an update to the church meeting, it was with a tentative plan for something like this, which was Ranald's concept picture of what it might be down on the south side, working to a budget of 250,000, as I said. And that was based on the idea of a steel-framed agricultural building, a barn, which would be the outer framework for phase one and maybe phase two as well. And so in phase one, we'd fit out part of the space within that barn, and sometime later, we'd fit out the rest. Now, since then, Ranald, our architect, has been getting a lot more costings in, and we've been exploring the detail of how this would work and working out what space that would give us, including that roping out exercise. And we've realized that our initial estimated costs were actually quite low. And that the space we've allowed for even in phase one was quite small. So, for example, the main hall where we would meet on Sundays would be roughly the size from here up to, if I can just hop over one of these, up to about here, which clearly is going to be a bit cozy. So you guys can't come, sorry. And that's not very realistic. Even though we've got a bit of extra space here, we need to do something about that. And that doesn't even allow for growth. So, let me tell you where we've got to today. This will be going to the church members meeting on the 21st for approval, but we wanted everyone to know about this in advance so that you could be thinking and praying about it. Our proposed budget has gone up to 450,000. Gasp, shock, horror. Okay? Now, put that shock aside, because I'll tell you what's gone into that. We have expanded the framework, the shell, the actual barn thing, from 300 square meters to 450 square meters. Now, that's pretty much the total size we were looking at for phase two. So that would allow for lots of space for church and community use in due time. Now, that's just the outer frame. We wouldn't be able to use all that space straight away, but it would mean that when we come to continue the development, we would have saved a lot of time and money by doing that framework and the foundations for it up front. Inside the frame, the plan for phase one is to fit out 300 square meters, or maybe a little more, and that would give us... Now, don't worry about the details of this. Again, this is just... Can you see that? All right. This is really just a concept at this stage, and we'll work out the details. But broadly speaking, that gives us a main room where we can meet on Sundays, baptistry, a couple of smaller rooms for jam or for meetings during the week. We've got a big storage space. We've got a kitchen space, a small office and toilets. And there's the ability to expand in due time into the rest of the shell, which might be at one end or both ends or sides. We're not sure. And the main hall and the smaller rooms are designed with folding walls in between. So that gives us the ability to be as flexible as possible with what we do with that space. It looks like we're not going to connect to mains gas because that would cost a fortune. Instead, we're going to use renewable energy for heating. We're going to have solar panels which will both generate our own electricity and provide an income by selling electricity back to the grid. We will have some tarmac car parking spaces for disabled parking, but we'll also use cheaper bits of parking, things like grasscrete, to provide parking for less critical space. Now, this is still phase one, and the phase one concept was quick and cheap. So the fit out will not be anything but fairly basic. But we are also looking to invite skilled people to give their time and expertise to reduce the costs of that build further. We're also looking at how we access the site. And although I can't give you any details yet because there are some confidential discussions going on, I think I can safely say that we are hoping to be able to access our site from Kings Meadows Road up the side of the Victoria Park Centre, rather than having to go all the way around Glen Sachs and Victoria Park Drive and Clarendon Avenue, which is a huge bonus in terms of access and visibility and publicity and safety. And we've also got built into that 450,000 budget some realistic costs now, including professional fees and council costs and contingency funds and so on. So what I think we've got to is a really good and realistic balance between all those tensions that I mentioned earlier, which, God willing, will allow us to be on the south side by roughly this time next year. In a building that will be usable for everything we do now, plus a whole lot more, and which will be able to fairly easily expand into phase two when the time comes. Now, I am sure you're full of questions about all that. Please do come and talk to me or any other members of the building group about that afterwards. But if you can, just parcel all those thoughts up for a second because I want to come back to this issue of the journey that we're on. We've still got the visual image of this journey in front of us, all these zigs and zags. And I don't know about you, but what strikes me is that all these zigzags are really kind of confusing, aren't they? So I want to read a verse from Proverbs 3 that I'm sure many of you will know. If you've got your Bibles, please do turn to this with me. In fact, turn to it and underline it, or put a ring around it, or copy it into your diary or something, because this is one of those verses that should be indelibly printed on our hearts and our minds. And if you haven't got your Bible with you, come on, why not? Because I've been saying this for the last 6 years. Bring your Bibles with you, because if you don't get them out and start using them at church, when are you going to get using them? Proverbs 6, verse 3, and it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. He will, thank you, he will make your paths straight. Now, I would be very surprised if I was the only person in this room here who would really like the journey we take from this point forwards to be straighter than it has been up to now. Anyone else feel like that? That you would really like to have a straight path to walk while we work on this building? So, here's how we do it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him. And I want to say that I think there is both a huge challenge to us in that verse and also a huge encouragement. Now, the challenge is obvious. The challenge is doing what the verse says. And that's in four parts. So let's just quickly look at them. First, we're told to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Simply believing in God is no good to us. It's more than believing. We are to have faith, and trust is the practical outworking of faith. Now, faith in God sometimes seems like a rather nebulous, slightly airy-fairy concept, doesn't it? It's hard to pin down exactly what it means. Maybe sometimes it's hard to know whether we really do have faith. But we can understand trust, though, can't we? After all, we find ourselves having to trust people every day. You trust whoever built your house that it's not going to fall in on your head. You trust the bank with your money, assuming you haven't got it under a sock, under your mattress in a sock. You trust whoever designed your video recorder or your skybox or whatever, that when you set the timer, it will record the program you wanted. Come the summer, some of you will be getting on planes to fly off on holiday, and you will be investing a tremendous amount of trust in the pilot and in the maintenance crews and in the air traffic control people. We exercise trust all the time, quite unthinkingly. We know what that means. And trust is the practical outworking of faith. It's when we trust God that we show our faith in him is real. Now, the call here in this verse is not to a piecemeal trust in God. We're not to pick and choose. Okay, Lord, I'll trust you with my marriage, but not with my career. Can't do that. The Bible says we are to trust him with our whole hearts and put our whole lives in his hands. It's calling us to put our complete trust in God. Trusting with our whole lives. The Bible is not short of examples of what it means to trust in God with all your heart. Noah, building a great, dirty, great big boat in the middle of dry land when there wasn't a cloud in the sky, despite all the ridicule of his neighbors, just because God said so. Abraham, packing up everything, leaving his homeland when he was 80 years old, because God told him to. Peter, the Apostle Peter stepping out of the boat to walk towards Jesus, who was walking on the water, because Jesus told him to. Ordinary Christians declaring Jesus is Lord in a Roman Empire which only recognized one Lord, and that was Caesar. Somebody has said faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Trusting in the Lord with all our hearts will sometimes mean taking risks and going out on a limb for God. Now, the second part of this verse is the alternative to the first part. It's what we're not supposed to do, and that's lean not on your own understanding. One problem is that we all think we know better than God. Sounds slightly ridiculous, but in practice, that's what we believe. The next verse says, after 3:6, the next verse says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And actually, we all do that. We think we know better than God. But the reality is, like Adam and Eve in the beginning, our wisdom and understanding is weak and crooked and unreliable. It's like a walking stick with woodworm. If you lean on it, it's all going to go horribly wrong. You're going to fall over. But regardless, we persist in trying to do things our own way, believing somehow that our ways are better than God's ways, that we know better than him. And it's madness. But that's what we try and do all the time. We believe we know better how to run our lives than God does. We try to lean on our own understanding. Now, the fourth part of the verse comes back to what we should do. We are to submit to God, or some translations say to acknowledge him. Now, here's the thing. I actually think that this is quite easy. I think submitting to God, or acknowledging God, whichever you prefer, it is fairly straightforward. As long as I can miss out the third part of the verse. Because if you've been paying attention, you may have noticed that I went from the first part, which was trust in the Lord with all your heart, to the second part, which was lean not on your own understanding, to the fourth part, which is submit or acknowledge him. So what's the third part? In all your ways, submit to him. I don't mind submitting to God for bits of my life. I don't mind acknowledging him or speaking up for him, giving him the credit in public occasionally when it suits me, when it's not too embarrassing, as long as I'm in control. But that's not what this says. It says, in all your ways, submit to him. I think that little three-letter word, all, is one of the biggest in the Bible. So there's a big challenge in that verse, and I'll come back to that in a second. But I also said that there was a great encouragement for us in that verse. So let me explain that. And I don't want this to sound in any way complacent or self-congratulatory for us. But I do think that as a church fellowship, as we continue on this building project, as we continue to grow together, as we continue to seek God's plans for our future, our path is getting straighter. Over the years, we have been through some rough times. Some of you know that much better than me. And we've been through some wildly not straight times. But it seems to me that where God is taking us is getting clearer and clearer. And I notice that all that happens to coincide with a time when we are re-emphasizing the importance of daily time with God in prayer and Bible study, when a number of us have recommitted to a daily quiet time, when we've got a weekly notice sheet this week which has, I was counting them, 6 different items specifically about prayer or prayer events, when we've been taking decisions as a church that are risky and entirely dependent on God coming through to us, through for us. These are exciting times. And as I say, that's not meant to sound complacent, but I do believe God is saying, look what happens when you trust me. and build your relationship with me. Our time is up. Let me please encourage you to actively think and pray about this latest update from the building project. And please do come and ask if you have questions. Let me finish with a takeaway for that verse from Proverbs for you to think about during this week. Just bring the verse back if you would mind, Richard. Thank you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What specific things do you need to do tomorrow to express the fact that you are trusting in God? And lean not on your own understanding. What will you do differently tomorrow if you are relying on God and not on your own understanding? In all your ways, submit to Him. What will you do tomorrow to inwardly submit and publicly acknowledge God and His Lordship over your life? And He will make your path straight. In what ways will you expect God to make your path straight tomorrow? Let's pray. Lord, that's a short verse with straightforward words, and yet is such a big challenge for us. We do long for straight paths. We long to see clearly and correctly where you are taking us and to be able to walk that path with you. And so, Lord, to enable us to continue doing that, help us to acknowledge you and your ways. Help us to trust in you with all our hearts, individually and together as a church. Help us not to lean on our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own bright ideas about what makes sense, but rather to put everything in your hands. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.